It's a special show. Oh, so special. It's the news, according to me. Oh, it is Tuesday morning. Tuesday, October 28th, 8:44 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2025. That's all you need to know. And that's the end of the show. Thanks for listening. Bye. I have... It is Tuesday morning. I feel a little bit more refreshed today. A day after a trip, I don't know why, after being gone for 4 days, four, sometimes five or six sometimes, I don't know what it is. I takes, and I've talked to other pilots that people travel a lot, that they have the same issue. They when you're gone for on a trip like that and you get back, you need a day to have to decompress. Even if it's, you're on vacation, you have to come back. You just need a day to decompress. In fact, most of the people I talk to, most of the guys I talk to that travel a lot, they say they have to have a day to do nothing. It's just you have to reset. It's just it's a weird thing that happens. I don't understand it. Now, if you get back early enough in the day, you can kind of do that reset. You can kind of get that to happen, and then it's not so bad. But what I've noticed is I'm a hard time kind of getting things rolling. Of course, the problem is I typically only have about 3 or 4 days off, which, you know, the first day is wasted. The second day, you kind of get some stuff done. You can't really roll into any big projects because the last day, you're kind of getting ready to go on, you know, leave again. Unless you leave late in the day, which is, again, that helps a little bit because you can kind of get some things done before you go. It's a kind of just a wacky lifestyle, but need that home time just to kind of get settled a little bit. I have got a few things recorded that I think we're going to play today. I also have something else. I don't know if I'm going to. I don't think I'm going to do anything with that. I don't know what I'm going to do here. I'm going to play some. We have a very special guest on this morning. Joe Biden is going to stop by, the former president. He's going to give us a few words. I've got some things. just kind of as a throwback to, days of yore. Days of your insanity. There's some things that he said. I think we've forgotten just exactly how. This has nothing to do with stuttering, by the way. This is not stuttering. I know that they like to talk about stuttering. Oh, I was a kid with a stutter. He when I saw that thrown out there initially, when he first was running for president, and they had this very early on, they talked about it. He was a kid, got picked on as a kid with a stutter. Well, that was not just a random thing that they threw out there. They knew he was having trouble with his speech patterns, that he was struggling with speech. Listen to him 20 years ago. He never, ever had a speech problem. He could rattle stuff off. The one long lie he did one time when he was confronted by somebody, he said, I was number one in my class. I graduated summa cum laude or whatever. I had 3 degrees. I had blah, blah, blah. Go through this whole thing. By the way, his cadence, his speech, a lot of what he says in that little tirade where he went back after this reporter and tried to make him sound like he was the most intelligent person in the room, that is exactly the same kind of cadence, speech, and talk that the guy from Catch Me If You Can, what is the guy's name? Frank somebody. Frank Higglebother or something like that. He's got kind of a long name. Abingale. Frank Abingale, I think, is the guy's name. Who, by the way, he goes around, I don't think he is doing this anymore. I think he's pretty much been shown as be a fraud. He probably still gets away with it, though. He was charging $30,000 to show up to speak at events he started another, like a security system, which is most, I don't trust these security places. We can just identity protection. Give us all of your information and we'll protect all of your information. I'm not doing that. I'll take my chances on my own. Thank you very much. I'll just take precautions on my own. I'm sorry. I'm not going to mention any names of any of them. Not that they're ever going to be a sponsor, because by the way, there is no sponsor for this show. It's sponsored by me, by my pocketbook. I do it by myself. I can say whatever words I want to because I'm not monetized. That's not the goal of this program. The goal of this program is just for me to maintain my sanity by being able to talk to all y'all and share my, vent my frustrations with this wacky world. I have, and the other thing that helps me is my cup. I have in my cup this morning, I have my Ghost Mart chai, my big train chai, which I found out yesterday my wife has been drinking. I thought I drank a lot of chai. Apparently I don't drink at all. So, which is fine. It's good chai. I'm glad she likes it. I just didn't know she was drinking it until I saw her put the can back yesterday. I was like, what are you doing with my chai here? This is, no wonder I'm going through so much chai. I only drink a cup a day. I do not drink more than that. Plus, of course, I put that Almond Joy creamer in there. Probably not the best thing for me. I'm sure it's all processed, heavily processed stuff. The chai, not necessarily, but though I'm sure the creamer is. In my backup cup this morning is the pièce de résistance. I don't even know if I'm probably not even pronouncing that right, but it's... yes, with even a couple little chunks of peach in there. Yesterday I made some homemade sweet peach tea with peaches in it. It is very good. Very good. I have, anyway, that's my backup cup. Finally made some peach tea again, and that's what we got there. Now I got this stuff recorded. It's actually on my phone. I'm going to try to get this off my phone. I had a hard time getting my phone connected earlier. Let's see here if I get, I think that's going to make it work. This is Joe Biden. with some special words. Just to get your day off on the right start. He's got a very inspirational speaker. Let's see what he has to say here.
Don't worry about the government. You need an F-16.
Mess with the women in America unless you want to get the benefit.
Buy a shotgun.
Buy a shotgun.
You know that
buy a shotgun.
28 out of every high school students is Latino.
20,
more than
28.
Half of the women in my administration are women.
More than
we went for two reasons. One, to... Let's talk about everybody being able to, no matter what your age, go out and be able to purchase cocaine.
Like Hunter.
What do you think about that idea?
Donald Trump's presidency. Guess what? You know.
By the way, it's all his fault.
This is Elton John.
We're spending $6 billion in taxpayer money this month. To help AIDS, fight AIDS, HIV, put that double-barrel shotgun and fired two blasts outside the house. Beer brewed here, it is used to make the brew beer here in this fine. Oh, Earth Rider, thanks for the Great Lakes. I wonder why. You want to worry about
okay,
the government?
Okay, that's enough of that.
It's,
yeah. That's enough of that. More than half of the women in my administration are women. That's, if you look at some of the people in his administration, that makes perfect sense, actually. People who call themselves women, I should say. He wasn't lying there, I don't think. I'm glad we can look back on it and laugh. That's just a good thing. We've got to get a few things from the vice president as well. Well, I'm just going to stay on this same vein here. I think that it's important. I guess, that we have. Let's go with this. This is, why is this not playing? This is, here we go. Oh, I know why it's not playing.
There, and I'm going to go back and
rewind this here.
You want to worry about the
gun. Here we go.
Here is Kamala Harris on the BBC.
This is courtesy of Sky
and
News.
And it's in my bones. And there are many ways to serve. I've not decided yet what I will do in the future beyond what I am doing right now.
But you've been very clear that it's a possibility you might run again to become president. And in my experience interviewing politicians, when someone says, I'm not done, it means they are thinking seriously about running. But when you look at the bookie's odds, they put you, as an outsider, even behind Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I mean, is that underestimating you?
I think there are all kinds of polls that will tell you a variety of things. I've never listened to polls. If I listened to polls, I would have not run for my first office or my second office. And I certainly wouldn't be sitting here in this interview.
If she would have listened to the polls, she wouldn't have run for her first office or her second office. Maybe she should have listened to the polls. Just say it. Because she didn't win there. So anyway, I don't know that she, you know, she ran. Well, I assume she's talking about the polls when she was running for the primary. Because she didn't really run for president, for vice president. You don't run for vice president. You're appointed to that position. So I'm assuming she wasn't talking about, I'm assuming she's talking about the actual primary condition she was in. Which I guess that means that she won the VP position because of that. And we all know why she got the VP position. She had the right skin color. It had nothing to do with her. And she was a Democrat, of course, but she was right, had the right skin color. Winsome Sears, who is the, you know, she is actually, has African heritage, is a woman and is running and has very high moral character. Running for governor of Virginia. And Obama, who chewed out everybody, all these men for not voting for Kamala Harris, or not, you know, if you're not going to vote for Kamala Harris, because of her skin color, because you have to vote for the, you know, the right skin color. That's all that matters. Unless it's Winsome Sears. Then now all of a sudden he's supporting the white candidate. He just endorsed her. Of course, Hakeem Jeffries now just finally came out and endorsed Mamdani. Mamdani's kind of stepped in it as well over the weekend. I'd like to play this, but I'm not going to. I've listened to it too much today already. And AOC was out doing her thing. She was out yelling at the people who were at her, the little event, talking about. And I can't stand listening to it. I just can't stand listening to it. So I'm not even going to play it because I can't stand it. I'm sick of it. And I don't want to subject you to something so vile. It was just, now, if you want to talk about someone who's a fascist, the kind of speech she was giving is much more attuned to the Mussolini, Hitler-esque kind of speech. I'm not calling her Hitler. I'm not calling her Mussolini. I'm just saying it's the kind of speech that they would do. And of course, she's bringing up every minority group, not talking about any struggles or anything that the white man has done in this country. Because, you know, this country wasn't built by white men. Yeah, we don't do anything. We just sit around and command our minions to do everything for us. We don't go out there and work hard and do anything in the ditches and perform any kind of community service. We don't put our lives on the line. We don't do any of that stuff. By the way, I think it's like 90, it's over 90% of all workplace deaths are white men. Just to, you know, give you some context there. Men tend to do the more risky jobs, the tougher, riskier jobs. That's just the way it goes. That's just the way it works. And of course, white men are the vast majority of those. And then we get told that we didn't even build this nation. We didn't build anything. In fact, if you're a business owner who started from scratch, took the risk, maybe lost a lot of money in the process. Maybe it's not your first attempt at creating a business. Blew a lot of money that you made earlier, that from the sweat of your brow, the calluses on your hand, all the things that you've done, the sweat equity you put into something. And then we're told, we didn't build that. You didn't build that. It's coming from someone who's never started a business of his own, never built a thing in his life, has lived off the taxpayer dole all of his life, never had a real job. That's what's coming from that person. Doesn't fly very far for some of us out here. And the more you make, the more they take. And I'm not just talking about a higher amount. I'm talking about a higher percentage. And they wonder why CEOs now make so much more than the workers do. Because, I talked about the economy yesterday. There's one thing I failed to talk about yesterday with the economy. I kind of had a short end of the stick. I'm going to kind of pick up where I left off yesterday with the economy thing. Just one thing I wanted to mention yesterday that I didn't. I'll move on from there. Because I want to talk about this Mamadani thing. It's just, it's really irking me now. The one of the issues is that there this one guy got on, he was talking about how, capitalism, this is what happens to capitalism. This is what capitalism is. It's all about capitalism. Oh, this is what capitalism does. People back in the 50s, when you could afford a house, you could literally, people could live on a home with, if you made, I think it was like $18,000 a year. You could literally own a home and have it paid off, basically. And if you really worked hard at it, you could. The average income of I think the average home was under $100,000. Average home 30 years ago, I think it was 30 years ago, which is that's about right. We paid. Our first initial house was right in the 60s somewhere. I think it was $69,000 for our first house, 5 acres of land, big farmhouse with a. An outbuilding, a couple of outbuildings, one main shed outbuilding. I think we paid 68 for it, 68 something. Second house, of course, paid about, a little more than twice that, almost three times that. 13 years later. Now, that was, back when an income of, $30,000 a year was good money. And it would pay, you could literally, if you just spent all of your income on that, you could pay it off in 2 years, 2 to 3 years. And that's just if you saved every penny and paid it off, that's all you did. There's living expenses that eat into that. If you can live within your means, and whatever you have left over, you can pay. So that's how that works. Now, the way this ends up happening, of course, now if you do any improvements, you do any home equity loans, all that kind of stuff, that all eats into everything and refinancing, whatever you do with it, just to make life easier. But what I'm getting at here is the more you make. Now, if you become a professional in your professional workplace, they keep raising the minimum wage. Here's what's crazy about this. There are people who have a professional position, professional job. They've gone to college for 4 years. They have a degree. They're working in their industry. And they might be making $80,000 to $90,000 a year. And then somebody comes along and says, well, the minimum wage should be $20 an hour. So somebody working at McDonald's, and say they're working, let's just for numbers' sake, let's just say they're working 10 hours a day. 5 days a week, 50 hours. They're doing, some of that's going to be overtime, of course, but let's just say it's 50 hours, $20 an hour. Well, how much is that? That's $1,000 a week. $1,000 a week for 50 weeks is $50,000 a year. it used to be that nurses didn't make that much money the first year in nursing, first, second year nurses. What does this do to somebody who's making $200,000, making a six-figure income, thinking that they've arrived because they're making six figures, and they're really only making about twice what a person at McDonald's makes? I mean, good for you if you work at McDonald's. Bad for you if you work at McDonald's, because here's the problem. That meal you were able to buy at McDonald's, and everybody wonders why, you know, fast food isn't cheap anymore. McDonald's food is not cheap anymore. It used to be, you know, you go to McDonald's, you get everything for less than $5. I used to go to Wendy's, get a double cheeseburger. I got a number two, plain with cheese, regular fries, and a Coke, and a large sweet tea or whatever they had, you know, whatever I got. It was always a large drink. It was always less than $5. I think it was $4.72 or something like that. I used to do it a lot, and I remember what the amount was. Well, then it started creeping up on me. You know, I started after. This is back in probably 2001, 2002. It was under $5, even in Chicago. You can't get that for under $10 now. Which, you know, I'm an old grumpy man complaining about, you know, prices going up. Here's the problem. Prices don't have to go up. This is a tax on society. Inflation is basically because of government spending. It's because there's more money in circulation. It's a complicated, you know, why everybody says, well, prices always go up. They have to go up. It's just, why do they have to go up? Tell me why. Well, because everything is more expensive. Why? Nobody talks about this. Or did things get better? Is that why they go up in price? Or you think the food we're eating today is better than the food we ate before? 20 years ago? Why? Do you think there's more food in the bag now? In that potato chip bag that's more full of air than it is potatoes now? Potato chips? The bag costs more than the potato chips. The packaging and the marketing costs more than the potato chips do. Why does it cost more? Well, because corporate greed, that's what it is. Yeah, it's corporate greed. It's because the CEOs, which is, this is bogus. The CEOs don't necessarily make all the money. The board members, it's just between the board members and the CEO, and of course then you have the shareholders and everything else that's going on with it. Not all companies have a CEO and a board and a bunch of shareholders. Not everybody's most corporations are not publicly traded corporations. The vast majority of them aren't. I bet probably only 15% of the corporations out there, especially LLCs, they're not. If you're going to include LLCs, it's more than 90% of them aren't on the public trade. Again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, and I'm not an expert on certain things like that. But here's what happens. So the person at the top, let's say a company has to hire an expert to run their company. So this board of people in this corporation, let's say they have a lawn care business, and it's a regional lawn care business. It's a brand within a region of maybe they run maybe three counties that they run. Okay, that's considered a small business, but it's a big business with regard to, you know, it's not just a mom and pop thing. It's not just a one man show. This is somebody. Then they got several employees. They have a regular business. It's a regular thing. And so the CEO is the person who's in charge of this whole thing and running this whole thing. Let's say there's a few investors that have invested in this company, and they want to see to it that this place is managed properly. So they have to hire a manager. And maybe they have to pay that manager $200,000 a year. And you got workers, some of them are seasonal, some of them are full-time, whatever they are. Well, the more that person makes, the more taxes they have to pay. And it's a progressive tax. It is not just a straight 40% or 30%. The guy who's the worker out in the field might not even pay any federal tax. He might pay some state tax. He might be in the lower end of the tax bracket. He might only be paying 7% of federal tax. I'm not a tax expert, so I'm not sure exactly where the bottom is. Some people are exempt from federal tax altogether because they don't make enough. And if they have enough, you know, if they have two or three kids, they may not even pay any federal tax. They might pay state and local federal, you know, county tax, that kind of thing. But this guy who's making $150,000 a year is in a higher tax bracket. He's probably in the 30 to 35% tax bracket range, maybe more. So he's making less, even though his package says, his benefits package says he's making $150,000 a year. And of course, the other workers look at him and go, well, you're making $150,000 a year. You need to pay your fair share. Well, what is his fair share? He's already paying over $50,000 a year in taxes. If you count up all the state, local, federal, everything else that's going on there, let alone Social Security and everything else he has to pay, I guarantee you, he's making $150,000 a year and he doesn't have very many exemptions, he's probably paying $50,000 a year in taxes. More than you're making a year. And you got somebody on a welfare SNAP program who's getting $48,000 a year in benefits for doing absolutely nothing. Who do you think's paying for that? The guy who just got $50,000 taken out of his taxes. I mean, it's that's simplifying everything. It's not, not all that money he got taken out was going directly to that person. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not trying to make that implication. All I'm saying is there's as much money there. It's all, it's fungible. It's all going into the big kitty. So you have to pay him more because now this person's only getting $100,000 a year, and they're not gonna do it for that. Their take home pay is going to, at the end of the day, that's what really matters. And if they're only going to walk away, at the end of the day, at the end of the year, with $100,000, well, I don't care if you pay them $1 million a year. If they're only getting $100,000 of that, they have to look at that's what they're actually living on. They can't count the other $900,000 that they got, that they earned, that was taken away from them. They never saw it. Because the more you pay them, the more they have to pay in taxes. So the disparity between the regular worker, the guy who's getting his hands dirty, and the guy who's managing the company becomes greater. And then we wonder why the rich keep getting richer and the poor keep getting poorer. That's one small part of the equation in this whole thing. I'm doing a kind of a shotgun talk about this. And here's the big problem. This is not open market, free market, capitalistic economy. This is government stepping in and seizing the means of production in an underhanded, undermined kind of way. Now, look, here's the other side of this dirty little story. If your employer pays you $50,000 a year, and say you're paying 10% tax. We'll just make it easy. So you're paying $5,000 a year in income taxes. They have that taken out of your salary. What you don't know is that your employer, some of you may know this, most of us forget about this because we don't see it on our check. The employer pays the other half. What do you mean? It's all coming out of my check. No. The employer withholds $5,000 out of your check. In addition to that, the employer is also obligated to pay the other half, which you don't even see. You don't even know it's there. They pay another $5,000. They're withholding $5,000 from you. They pay $5,000, and the government gets $10,000. That's how that works. Let alone unemployment tax, everything else that has to come out of that employer's. You have to pay unemployment insurance as an employer, by the way. So even though you're getting $50,000 a year, it's probably costing that company $65,000 a year to have you there. That's $65,000 they're willing to pay to have you working there. The problem is it's not all going to you. And you're only seeing about $40,000 of it at the end of the day, by the time you get all your taxes and Social Security and everything else taken out of your check. That's what you're getting. Let alone healthcare now, which is, another thing that they've lumped into all that. The government is basically, and in New York, it's even worse. Most people working, especially if you have a higher-end job, most people working in the state of New York, especially in New York City, because New York City has their own taxes. There's some cities that have their own taxes. I did some work down in Cincinnati one time. It was Cincinnati or Dayton. Was it Dayton or Cincinnati? It was Dayton. Maybe it was Dayton. Ohio. Yeah, I think it was Dayton, Ohio. They have their own city tax there. So if you work in that city, even if you don't live there, they take money out of your check. Now, if you don't live there, you can file at the end of the year. You have to fill out a special form to get your money back. Why are they taking it to begin with? It's my question. Because they know that some people aren't going to file, and they're going to get to keep some money that's not that probably only about 15 to 20% of the people are actually going to file that form to get it back. Once they get their hands on it, they know that it's going to be harder for you to get back from them. We wonder, well, we live in a free country. Not necessarily. And it certainly isn't a capitalist country. Capitalism is not the crony capitalism, what we have going on here, is not free and open market trade. It's just not. I contend that income taxes on your wages are immoral, as well as property tax. Both of them are immoral. Just saying. Well, that's some good sweet tea. Anyway, that was my little tirade on the economy, which has now put us 30 minutes into the show. I have a little issue. I hesitate whether I want to play this or not because it is so annoying. But I think I'm going to. I think I'm just going to go ahead and play it. This is AOC, and she is yelling. I just happened to catch the. I froze this video. The look on AOC's face is pretty scary. Listen to what she says here. I'm sorry. First, I want to apologize. I'm sorry for the audio. I'm sorry that you have to listen to this lady speak. And of course, there are several people behind her who are wearing several men who are obviously, let's just say they look like Bin Laden. And, you know, all of them are minorities. Everybody behind her is a minority because that's all that counts anymore. It's all that matters. Big sign on the podium says New York is not for sale. And then we're going to talk about this whole Mamdani thing and what he believes and everything, where he's going with all this stuff. The speech that I heard him say the other day about free everything, free this and free that. We're going to talk about that. Let's just listen. Again, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, folks.
Oh, wow.
That's a courtesy of Sky News Australia. Lefty's losing it. I have to laugh because it's just, otherwise I cry. She goes through every list of every minority group, every downtrodden, down for the struggle group that there is, and all the things that they've gone through. And some of the things she can't really even quantify because she doesn't know. She's just out there yelling. Of course, there's somebody there cheering up the crowd. And we got to start clapping. Yeah. What did she just say? What is she saying? It's the implied theory that this nation is nothing but a bunch of bigots. It's a bigoted country. And of course, Mamdani has come out, and I'm not even going to play this because I can't stand it. He comes out and he talks about his aunt. And he's doing everything he can to try to cry. And he's trying to get choked up. He's not. This is all fake. Most people would look at this and say, I'm not sure he's actually crying there. He acts like he's getting choked up. And he talks about his aunt, who was actually he wasn't talking about his aunt because his only aunt he's got wasn't in the country at the time and never didn't wear a hijab. He talks about his aunt who was scared to go on the subway because she couldn't wear her hijab on the subway because after 9/11 she was so scared. Well, have a clue, folks. First of all, there were no incidents that are recorded at all of anyone getting accosted or hurt, attacked, even spat upon for wearing a hijab after 9/11 on the subway or anywhere else in that matter. I can't find any incidents of any of that kind of thing. Of course, it was 25 years ago. You'd think somebody's going to, come out with a story now. Something that happened to them. Well, excuse me. Now most Muslims are not terrorists. But most terrorists are Muslims. I'll probably get accused of being an Islamophobe for saying that. But the real terrorists, the ones that have made terrorists a word in our generation, have been Muslims. Just stating the facts. Why then would she be afraid to wear a hijab on the subway? Gee, maybe those 3,000 people who got killed in just a few hours. Thousands of people were killed. And that doesn't choke you up. But your aunt not being able to wear a hijab days after the 9/11 attacks. I'm not even sure the subways were running days after the attacks, for that matter. But she wasn't even in the country. So then he said, "Oh no, this was my dad's cousin." I was referring to my dad's cousin who passed away a few years ago. Oh well, you didn't say that. You said your aunt. That's not your aunt. Your dad's cousin would be your cousin, actually. Technically, it'd be like a second cousin or whatever it would be. Which that's all semantics. The real problem was he makes it basically sound like this nation is nothing but a bunch of bigots and it's not a bunch of racists. But after the attacks, she couldn't wear her job on the. Well, neither could anybody who was killed. They couldn't wear a hijab either, even if they wanted to. I'm sure they wouldn't want to, but if they wanted to, they couldn't. A lot of people couldn't do a lot of things after 9/11. Now, this is the kind of guy he is. And, of course, all the tears, he was trying to choke up tears. It was all fake. He was acting like he was all choked up about it. And how hard it was for his people. Here he is, going to be the mayor. See, that's how bigoted we are, I guess, in this nation. It's because that somebody can be the mayor, that somebody can be a president of the United States who has never confessed. Folks, you can't convince me that Barack Obama is a Christian. You can't convince me of that. I'm not saying I'm judging the man's soul. All I'm saying is you can't convince me of that. I'm not going to be the one who stands in judgment. All I'm going to say is I do not believe he's a Christian. I can say that. That's not judgmental. I'm just telling you that's what I'm discerning here, folks. Can anybody talk about the day he was baptized? Maybe he belongs to a sect of the Christian faith that doesn't believe in baptism. I don't know. He was raised a Muslim. Most people who go from Islam to Christianity usually have a pretty dramatic testimony. Can you, has anybody ever really sat this guy down and really just pinned him down on his faith and what he believes? Because I guarantee you, if you say, what was the that convinced you that Jesus was Messiah? Why did you choose to leave the Muslim faith? You will not get those answers from him because he does not have those answers because he never did. The church that he attended in Chicago was a ecumenical church. It has been proven time and again with all of their literature, people who've called the church, asked them questions. They will not confess that Jesus is the only way. They have Muslims, Hindus, and everything else that attend their church and consider themselves members there. Is it Reverend Wright? I get the guy's name. Literally said from his pulpit, "God damn America." That's the guy who's your pastor. That's when he started going there. That's when he made the confession of faith. He never has. He's never made a confession of faith. Just like when he believed that marriage was between a man and a woman until he. So second term, then all of a sudden he evolved on the issue. It's okay. I'm evolving on the issue. It's supposed to make us feel like he's more on a higher level. He's more enlightened than all the rest of us are. Anyway, the show tomorrow. By the way, let me know what you think about what I think about all these things. Sorry, I bumped the microphone there. Tomorrow's show probably is, I'm hoping the show tomorrow is going to be live. Now, I'm going to try to work on a few things. I've got a lot to do today. I'm not sure how things are going to go tomorrow. I got to pick up my puppy. My puppy's been off to school for 2 weeks, and tomorrow I get to see him finally. I miss him greatly. I feel like I need to go see him. He's just a few miles away, but I can't go see him. And I only get to see him for 2 days and I have to leave. So actually for 24 hours, I get to be here with him and then I have to leave, which is going to be difficult again because after that, I have to go, theoretically can come home for about another 12 hours and then I have to go back again, go back to work, trying to get out of that. Because of this transition between the month thing, I have this weird thing where I work 4 days, then I come home to go back the next day for 2 days. And I get 3 days off. So I don't know how that's going to work. We'll see how it goes. And then I have a follow-up with him. I get to take him back to the training facility in a couple weeks and make sure he's kind of still getting it. You know. But they do an awesome job at the place. I think he's going to be an awesome job for a dog for a while until I mess him up again. Dog discipline isn't like anything, any other kind of discipline. You just have to stay with it. It just takes a discipline to stay with it. And like anybody's life, it takes self-discipline. There's a difference between self-discipline and imposed discipline. So I've talked about this before. I learned this in martial arts training. When you go to a martial arts class and someone else is there and they put the pressure on you to do something, it's something it's even like having a coach like when you go to the gym and you have a workout coach, whatever, when you have somebody, what do they call it? A personal trainer. They can get you to do another set, another rep or whatever, just because they're talking. They're the voice outside your head saying, do one more. And then you do that one, then do another one, do just one more. I know you, one more was the last one I did. Now you're making me do another one. What's up with that? And they kind of use this kind of a, it's almost like a, because they're standing there telling you to do it, you might do it. I have to hear that voice in my head. And unfortunately, it's my own voice because I've never had a personal coach, personal trainer. But I have gone through it enough where I've had other people training me and putting me through that discipline. I know, and I've actually became an instructor. I had my own karate studio for a while, Taekwondo, Chungdokwan studio, when I was 19 years old. And I was in charge of the one doing the discipline. Now, I understand what that means. So I can hear myself basically pushing myself to do things that I would otherwise not do. When you're doing those push-ups and you're on your 25th push-up and the next thing you know, I'm going to go to 30, I'm going to do one more. You don't settle for that last one or whatever. So you do one more, whatever. Or not. Or you just do 20 and you're done. And you're okay with that. You can live with yourself. But it is still the discipline of getting it done. Even just starting it sometimes. It takes discipline to just get going, just get started. It's a lot easier just lay in bed. Especially my age. We have, worse of it is just hearing all the noises that your body makes. Creaking and groaning. Cracking and popping and all the stuff that happens. Anyway. Folks, tomorrow, folks, theoretically, the show will be live. I don't know that it's going to be on a video. I'm hoping to be able to do it live. It will be posted as a recording on some media. I'm not sure. I think on Podbean, I'm going to be live. On Rumble, I'm probably going to be live, hopefully. I still haven't got Rumble figured out. I may even try to go live on YouTube. I'm not sure how this is all going to work yet. I still have to work on some things as far as getting all the stuff done. It's just going to be me talking. It's not going to be a whole lot of setup and a lot of other video. Just I'm trying to keep it simple and go from there. And then Thursday morning, also just a regular show on Thursday. Probably going to be a show on Friday from Memphis, I think. I'm not positive yet, but it looks like there's going to be a show every day this week. Now, next week, I don't know how that's going to work out. Monday and Tuesday of next week. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Once again, folks, thanks for listening. Call the show. We have 812-379-8778. Call and let me know what you think about what I think, or just ask a question. What's something you want to see or hear on the live show tomorrow? What would you like for me to comment on or talk about? But by the way, a lot of good things are happening with the, I haven't talked much about JFK Jr. or RFK Jr. Sorry, RFK Jr. lately. And I'd like to talk about some of those kinds of things tomorrow. Possibly going to be talking a little bit more about some of the race with Mamdani and some of the things he believes. I didn't have a chance to really talk about that much today. I'm going to get into some of his philosophies and some of the issues with typical Marxist, communist, democratic socialism was crap that they're talking about. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day, rest of your week. Take care. See ya.